QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Okay, only announcement we have here, a couple announcements. Actually, one will be that on December 18th, we will be doing ham testing at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. This will be the last testing session for this year. Next year, we will resume throughout the year, last Sunday of every month at 1 o'clock, excluding any other interferences with the fire department, which I believe are zero. Also, a little reminder, as we see what's happening down in the Southern California basin, with wind damage and people without power, just keep in mind, do the best you can up here to be prepared. Yes, earthquakes will hit in the wintertime too. loss of power up here is a very serious item. So just do the best you can out there. If you're a ham, do what you can to help out. And we appreciate that here. Topic for the evening, we're going to discuss a couple of things from two past issues in QST of this year, February and April. There were two issues, both one featuring a 40-meter transmitter and also a 40-meter receiver. Ham, I think, that was involved with this is W7JI. Great little do-it-yourselfers. We'll go over these little bit, and obviously very economical, and what it would take to put an antenna in the air for these also. All right, well, I will now call a roster of our guests and people that are predominantly here on Tech Tuesday. As KF6Q with Tech Tuesday at calling WB6ZLZ. Mike, are you out there?
Sir, Tom, we're here standing by. I don't have copies of those QSTs in my hand, but I will contribute as I can. Back to you, Tom, and good evening. It's WB6ZLZ.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. Also, a little note for Clint. The February issue was also one that featured AeroSat 1. Okay, WB6CIN, Cindy, be out there.
I'm here, this is WB6CIN.
Thanks, Cindy. And Mike, if you're running 30 watts, sounding good in there. Good deal. KA6CIA, George. And nothing heard. KE6RJ, Harry. And nothing heard. KE6QI, Nancy. And nothing heard. KI6SKN, Chris. And nothing heard. KJ6HZS, Mike.
And Tom and Annette, this is KJ6HZS, no traffic.
Good evening, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Courtesy check-in for your dad if he's listening, K6EKX. and KJ6FIL. Mike in Redlands, are you out there?
Good evening, Tom and the group. Yeah, I'm out here. Way out there. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike. Hopefully it's warmer in Redlands than it is here. KJ6KDL, Jim.
KJ6KDL here with my February and April QSTs. The bindings aren't bent quite enough. And KDK's here too.
Hello.
All right, we got KD6KDK. Hello, Rosemary. Glad to have you out there. All right, how about W6GZI, Frank? Nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly. Yeah, nothing heard. How about K6GVL, Ron?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. This is K6GVL from Torrance, California.
All right, Torrance. Good deal. That's a little bit further away than Green Valley. Good to have you out there, Ron. How about 86PL, Harold in Riverside?
Good evening, 86PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you back with us. N6BOP and in Pomona. Nothing heard. K6LCS, Clint from Harupa Valley.
K6LCS, good evening, Texas. Hey, Tom and Annette.
Clint, glad to have you with us again. How about W6JLM, Judith?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. This is W6JLM.
All right. Judith, glad to have you back. I'm assuming you're here in Sugarloaf. How about W6KMM? Ken nearby.
Good evening, Tom and everyone on the Net. This is W6KMM.
Thanks, Kit. Thanks, Ken. Glad to have you back up in here with a nice, cool country. K6YNW, Chris. Haven't heard from Chris there. How about W6POO, Chip?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. W6POO here, and we have our magazines ready to enjoy Tech Tuesday. W6POO, clear.
All right, Chip, glad to have you out there. How about KD6LAN, Bill? He's out there moving boulders in Boulder Bay. AE6CK, Victor, are you still out there?
Yes. Good evening, Tom and Vanette. This is Victor, AE6CK, Santa Fe Springs.
All right, Victor, glad to have you from Santa Fe Springs joining our net. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Good evening, Rod. Glad to have you there from Moon Ridge. How about KB6LTY, Christy?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. KB6LTY, mobile.
All right, Christy. Hope things are working out with your log periodic. Haven't heard anything back from you. So, how about AE6TV, Hans? All right, and that concludes the list of the regulars as I have it. Anybody else like to check in as a guest?
K6UKE, Bonnie in San Bernardino.
K6.
Okay, we have one station from San Bernardino and another station. You're out there barely hitting the repeater, but hopefully you can hear us. Clear as a bell. Anybody else?
Good evening, Tom. W6AWL.
Art, glad to have you with us again. W6AWL. Sorry, I should put your name on here as a regular. By golly. Anybody else? All right. Anybody can check in or add or subtract from our conversations at any point in time as we go through this evening. One of our listeners out there, our participants, brought to the attention. We were talking about QRP, QRP radios and things like that, transmissions. And QST mentioned these two articles in QST earlier this year. I think these are designed around 40 meters. I think with a little coaxing, they could probably be used on 20 with a little change of a few parts. Anyway, I know, Mike, you don't have these issues. Sorry to hear that. Well, let's just get into, once we have this radio, as we're going to delve into here just a little bit, Mike, I'm looking at basically a lot of different things we could just do to throw up an antenna in the air. The whole idea behind this is no cost, low cost. So 40 meters would be, what, maybe a 60-foot piece of wire if it was just a 40-meter antenna. Or possibly 90 feet or some odd feet like that for a, what is it, ZS6? Mike, any information on the antennas?
I'm not by any means an expert, but just a simple 40-meter dipole, you're looking in the middle of the band, about 65 feet of number 12 or number 14. If you're running QRP, low power, less than 50 watts, less than 10 watts, you know, any kind of wire is going to do on 40 meters. It's not that long of an antenna to where it's going to stretch much. Then just hook it up to some RG, well, 50-ohm coax, maybe through a balun, maybe a one-to-one balun, and you're ready to go. I mean, stick a little bit of coax into the radio, and you're on the air. That's 40-meter dipole. A lot of fun on 40-meter QRP. You can, maybe at this time of the cycle, not work the world, but sure have a lot of fun. Reset. 5RV, you're looking at about a very popular antenna, about 101 feet, off the shelf there in the $45 range or something if you buy them. If you make them yourself, I've got to be less than 10, I'm not sure. And the same with the ZS6BKW, which is an optimized version of the popular G5RV. A little bit shorter length, 93.8, ladder line, about 39 and a half feet of that. And a one-to-one balun, and that's a pretty good multi-band antenna, too. Okay, well, I hope I haven't told anybody or gone too fast. Back to you, Tom.
And KF6Q here with the Tech Tuesday Net. Well, that's, okay, good precursor to our topic this evening, but my fault here, we kind of skipped over our normal order of things. Mike, before we get really into this transceiver, actually two parts, a receiver and transmitter, you set them on top of each other, I guess, then you have a transceiver. What's happening out there with the DX? How's 10 meters doing? How's everything else doing? What are we doing with sunspots out there?
Not real happy with the way the bands have been going, but I haven't spent a lot of time. I've been kind of busy with actual work type stuff. But Space Weather, last time I looked, is reporting a sunspot number of about 185, and a solar flux index is pretty good at 158 solar flux units. So, I mean, conditions should be excellent, or at least good to great. But from what I see, that's not what's going on. I just kind of checked the bands about a half an hour before we came on here. A little bit of 40-meter CW and sideband activity, but mostly within the United States. I didn't hear any DX. A little bit of sideband on 75 meters. I heard one CW signal. 20 meters and above dead. So I don't know what's going on, but no DX to report here. Hopefully somebody else has some better news. Tell me my antennas are broken or something, but sure don't look like it. Back to you, Tom.
Mike, appreciate that every week. Anybody else out there got any good news or any kind of news there on DX? Please come back to KF6Q. Well, Mike, it sounds like that's pretty much the way it is with everybody out there. Well, that's the cycle, and it goes up and down, and I think as we're working into that further and further, obviously going to get better. So, well, anyway, next on our list, which we do not want to bypass, of course, is our Hamsat report with Clint, K6LTS, from Hoover Valley, Clint, like I said, a little side note here. One of the issues that we're pulling, this is the one that has the receiver. Also in that same issue of February 2011, great article on AeroSat 1. SuitSat's successor, as they call it. And if you do have that issue out, anybody can pull that up and kind of refresh their memory about the satellite. Anyway, Quint, K6LCS, what's happening up in the 500 miles up range?
K6LCS, and I got permission, or obtained permission from QST to reprint that satellite article, How to Work AeroSat 1, on my website. Hey, we've got at least two brand new hams listening to your net this evening. A gentleman up the street from me and one in Orange County who just got their licenses this week. So hi to both of them and check in either later tonight or check in next week as you learn more about this wonderful hobby. Break for a second. Well, someone called me and said, Clint, since AO51 is gone, you must be out of business. No. We still have at least four easily worked ham satellites. Easily worked to me means being able to hook up a little better antenna to my handheld radio, go out in the backyard and work them. SO50, the Saudis SO50, launched in 2002. A little more finicky to work than 51 was because it's not a constant carrier bird. It's not on all the time. But on the West Coast, you'll almost always run into people on SO50. Also, we have AMRAD Oscar 27, AO27. Launched in 1993. It's a bizarre bird to work because on its south to north passes over the West Coast, it doesn't come on until about halfway through the pass and then just on for a 7-minute timer. Information on that, we have a brand new site for information on AO27, and you can get that link from my website at k6lcs.com, k6lcs.com. We also have, number three would be AeroSat 1, although it is deteriorating, it's lasted beyond its 2 or 3 month life. It is still monitorable in the sun. You can still hear the pre-recorded messages on 145.95, that's 145.95. And the fourth bird, of course, the International Space Station, the ISS. Packet coming down on 440 right now, and as the satellite passes over, now they work, the astronauts work on Greenwich Mean Time, so keep that in mind as you try to hear them talk to either students on the ground or in spare time, just talk to us normal hams on 2 meters up and down as they go over us. So we've got those four birds up and running. And for you sideband folks, AO7 is doing magnificently, and so is VO52 is doing wonderfully for you sideband folks. So yes, we lost AO51, but we still have opportunities to work FM birds, FM low Earth orbiting birds with handheld radios. So no, I'm still in business. Tom and Annette, thank you very much. K6LCS, and welcome to those new hams.
We appreciate all that information, Clint, and of course you've got always something out there for us every week. Possibly there could be some questions from other people out there. Before we turn it over to that, I have a question. Are most of those FM birds now, are they circular polarized? I know that we use a standard dipole aero antenna, so I'm assuming that they're not. I'm assuming they're just, because I know that I've had that pointed up in the air myself, and generally I can turn it and it'll change, so I'm thinking they're basically polarized, which is why we can also pick them up actually with a rubber duck. Is that correct?
Tom, the engineers, and you've got to love the engineers, will tell me I'm absolutely nuts, but in every demonstration, I never use absolutes, but in every demonstration I've given in front of folks, in front of live audiences, I won't announce it, but I'll twist my arrow 90 degrees to see if I have a perceivable increase or decrease in transmit or receive signal. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen for me on 27, doesn't happen for me on 50. I have experienced the phenomenon a little bit as we lose the satellite, the last few minutes of the past. So maybe it's because the arrow is giving so much gain, I'm not noticing it with my ears. This is very unscientific. But as far as working the FM low Earth orbiting birds, you don't need to spend money and work with circular polarized antennas. That's not a scientific answer. That's just an answer from someone who's done it a lot.
Okay, roger that. And I know that a little information out there passing out to everybody, and back to you, Quinn, on that. I know that if you do have a linear polarized signal and you use a circular polarized antenna, you are going to lose 3 dB, period. So it's actually better to stick with what we have. They are probably linear polarized. I like to say probably high gain, and we don't notice. I think with SO50, I noticed as it spins, I think, up there, could kind of hear and see some fluctuations. But that would typically be on a low pass. I know if we're doing high passes, you don't see that. So, well, anybody else out there with any questions for Quint on tracking satellites with an HT? These are ham repeater satellites up there. They have a lot of different functions. Great up and down link on the 2 meter 440 band. Before we move ahead, any questions for Quint? It's KF6Q. Well, Quint, sounds like you got everybody taken care of out there. Or like we say, we've baffled them again. Anyway, all right, good deal. Appreciate that. And, of course, every week we have Quint in here, unless he's doing a demonstration someplace, and he does so many of those a year. Quint, how many do you do a year as a ballpark figure? You're wrapping up 2011 now.
Let's see, my wife is here. Oh, she can't hear. Yeah, more than 20 a year in the last 4 years. My wife just smiled. She's not a ham. She just smiled.
Oh, roger that. Well, that's a lot. That's more than, or getting close to, I should say, two a month. And hopefully we'll get a chance to have you back up here this next summer doing demonstration for our club. So, well, anyway, moving ahead with our topic of the evening of the compact 40-meter receiver. Like I said, this article was done, both were done by Lou Burke, W7JI. That's W7JI. Really neat article here. I'm going to throw this over to Jim real quick. Jim, I noticed, I know you have your articles up there, and this would be in the February one. We're looking at page 38-39, shows a blowout of the schematic. Pretty basic, pretty simple. Nothing really elaborate here. A few crystals maybe for a crystal filter. What's your take on that, just as a shot from the hip there, Jim? This is
KF6Q. Oh, yeah, letting KDK look at it, too. I'm looking at the two different schematics. First, using that Express PCB software, which is free to design the circuit board, really does add professionalism to the layout. I'm just grazing through the circuits now. I was looking at the crystal bank, and the 4.915 megahertz crystal bank. I guess I'm doing my math wrong. It comes up in the 60-meter band for me. I guess I'm doing it wrong. But, just doing the Darlington amplifiers, pretty simple. I'm looking at the chips right now. As far as the complexity, it's just intense with parts for beginner hobbyists, but it's just nothing that anybody's interested in electronics would get tossed on.
Yeah, and actually, as you mentioned, Express PCB, anybody out there with internet access can kind of do a Google on that. Really great company out there of many. Not a plug just for them. But Express PCB, they have software for free that you can download to design a PC board if that's what you would like to do. The other thing is, too, is if you have, and I do believe you can get the copy of his board here through the ARRL, I'm sure, somewhere. And with that, they will actually produce a PC board for you from that, fairly cheap, especially if they're a single board. What's really amazing with a lot of the breakthroughs, and I'm not saying they're fantastic breakthroughs, but simplification of all the different ways they can come up with a mask, they can pretty much produce what they call a prototype board, limited by a specific size. And I know, I haven't checked with them lately, you can get something made up fairly cheap. I mean, within $10 cheap, possibly more, possibly less. It's been a while since I've checked. And if you're really handy with making PC boards, with either using a felt marker, you don't have to be real elaborate, you're using a felt, very, what do they call it, permanent felt marker. We used to do this in high school. And draw the thing out on, you know, use a little skill, of course, and make it nice and neat. Straight edge helps. I know I need a straight edge to draw a straight line. And let me reset real quick. And you can basically copy that out. Or use a lot of the photo and printer methods and actually produce your own board if you choose. So with that all in mind, keeps the whole thing pretty simple, really neat and clean. Like I say, this is actually, it's 40 meters, so we're around 7 megacycles, plus or minus, actually a little bit on the plus side of that. So we're not real critical in frequency here. With that in mind, there's a lot of parts in the schematic, real simple parts, very cheap parts. And some of these integrated circuits, I think there's like three in the entire design. Well, excuse me, no, I guess there's a little bit more than that. But they're real simple circuits, real low cost. Again, I did not have a chance to throw together an approximate price cost of this. But I would say without an enclosure, possibly making your own board, you're going to be looking at ballpark of probably, again, between $20 to $30, maybe $40 max. And like I say, if you have any other old stuff around, you can salvage out a lot of these parts. Let me reset. Mike, I'll throw that back at you just for a little bit. I know that the 40-meter band, pretty good band, and a while back, I think they discontinued what they called public service broadcasting or public stations. How's 40 meters been for ham use, ballpark shot from the hip in the last, say, 6 months?
I'm not much of a low band guy, but I have done some 40 meter work. As a matter of fact, I'm listening to some CW right now on 7038-30. But 40 meters generally is good at night for at least around the United States. Really good CW band to learn on. There's people that will slow down, you know, if you're just running CW, and some pretty hot rods too, spending 30 miles, 30 words a minute, and pretty fast stuff going on. But yeah, there's still a little bit of broadcasting on the higher end, but not bad. I mean, there's spaces available in the general band, and especially in the higher class licenses. So it's really a good overall band. A lot going on.
Yeah, watch that. And Chip, I know you're out there listening in. I think you have a copy out there also. Anything that strikes you really kind of anything special about this other than the fact it's pretty simple to build? I think if somebody wanted to have this isn't really available as a kit, but it really could be ordered up from the parts list, I guess. Chip, anything that you see here that really catches your eye?
Sorry, I had to step out. I got a phone call I got to take. Let me respond to that. I'm going to take this phone call. I got a family thing that just happened.
Okay, Chip. Well, anyway, we'll get back to you here in just a bit. But yeah, I think, and I'm also looking here at the transmitter. Transmitter, couple of, let's see, 2N222, 4-2s. It's like a whole lot of trains. 2222. Anyway, 2N3904s. These are real common in the surplus market. A couple other parts there. Like I say, once again here, there's a few things that can be handmade here. A couple of the coils, real simple to do. And I think either one of these, you know, like I say, under Ulysses Grant, you're probably going to be have a lot of money left over, especially if you have anything electronic laying around the house that's headed for the trash bin. There's a lot of resistors and capacitors here that, you know, I'm sure you're going to find you could salvage out of that. Of course, like we had talked about last week, be careful. Don't be opening up and tearing apart any TV that's been turned on for a while. There is high voltages in there, so be very careful about that. But anyway, Jim, you got both schematics out there. I think that either one of these really simple in parts and 40 meters. Have you looked at the transmitter also?
Yeah, KJ6KDL on Tech Tuesday. Yes, and actually, as far as the layout, it actually seems simpler or more simple. It only uses one crystal because it doesn't have the complexity of the mixer stage that the other one does. The other one uses a mixer oscillator in two places. They do have the number wrong, by the way, on the February. U1 says it's an SA602, and it's actually the same as U3. It's an SA612 if you look at the list. But on the transmitter, it's pretty much a power supply with a couple of FETs and another SA602 and a few drivers at the end and to kick up the current and an LC network at the end to give you your filter, and then out to the antenna you go. It's I think the probably the most expensive part on there is going to be, if I'm looking at this right, Q8. I mean, that's the biggest driver to go out to the antenna.
Roger that, and this is 7.5 watts out, which is actually getting pretty hefty there for QRP, and a lot of QRP work is 10 watts or below. This is just below that. So, and I would say that the IRF510, that Q8, the power output transistor, FET, is probably not going to break the bank. Here again, a lot of this stuff is individual components under the $5 bill. And like you say, we see here he's got regulators in here to run the thing off of a 12-volt power supply and different regulators, different power things going out there. Pretty simple, pretty simple. I noticed that he's got an input here for a CW key paddle and a keyer. Neat stuff, pretty basic. whatever happened just using a straight key? Boy, I got to tell you, this is pretty high tech for, you know, without using, you know, a lot of parts. So I'm impressed. And like I said, with this right here, let me reset. With what we have here, a good way, if you're out there listening in, you got a tech license, you're saying like, well, I don't know, am I allowed in that band? Mike, real quick, if you can, could you look up, and I don't have the chart handy, and by golly, my memory is really bad. What do we have available out there on the CW portion for novice technician? Do you have your chart handy?
I always have it right in front of me. I don't want to be off frequency. technicians, if there still are novice, I'm not really sure, but technicians and novice have on 80 meters 3.525 to 3.600, which is quite a bit of CW. I think they can only use up to 200 watts or something like that, but I mean, that's a heck of a lot. I use 100 watts and I work all the way around the world. Several times. No, I'm kidding. And on 40 meters, 7.025 to 7.125. Then 15 meters, 21.025 to 21.200. And of course, sideband privileges on 10 meters, but they have CW from 28 to 28.3. And sideband from 28.3 to 28.5. So quite a bit on the HF spectrum. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, Okay, roger that. So we do, I mean, I was pretty sure we did have a spot there on 40 for tech, which is good. CW, that is, of course. But I know that this could be modified. Like I said, we're looking at a real simple circuit and could be modified to probably go all the way up to 15, I would say, with a little bit of design knowledge in there, changing some of the values. And like I said, so there's actually quite a few different things it could be used for. He has all the design in here for 40 as is. If you're not familiar with any RF design, I'd say stick with what he's got. And a lot of this stuff here, like the toroids, Palomar Engineering part numbers, you know, a lot of different items here, the simple resistors. A lot of these parts actually available through probably a basic Radio Shack if they're still carrying those components. Hopefully they are. And I know some of the, even that output FET for the transmitter, I do believe at one time that was actually carried by Radio Shack. Don't know if it still is, as are some of the regulators. Let me reset. Real quick out there, K6ROD, Rod, are you still with us? Well, he was there. Anyway, okay. Didn't know if he was still out there. You know, we'll, yeah, help us out there a little bit because he does a lot of CW. Not sure if he's on 40 that much. Well, anyway, this is typical of stuff that's published in QST. QST magazine, of course, you will get for free every month if you join the ARRL. And it's really a great thing to do. You're basically what you're going to pay out for the yearly fee of for ARRL is worth just the magazine in itself, besides having quite a few other features and helping out ham radio. But I do believe that this is typical of their stuff they have. A lot of these issues, which we will be going back on, are completely loaded with stuff, cool stuff. Some of it may be above basic radio, but a lot of it is very understandable. And they have a lot of, each one has a little section called ham speak. Mike, what is ham speak?
Well, that's basically words that we use in ham radio. Gosh, I can't think of one right off my head. That don't really mean the same thing. Like, I can't think of it. Tom, you caught me off guard. Back to you.
Okay, I think I doubled with somebody, but Mike, sorry to keep you off guard. Go ahead. I had somebody else in there.
Hi, Tom. W6POO here. I've been keeping partial ear on that. I'm back with you. To answer your question, if hand speak, for instance, say, resistor, and it's as simple as that. It'll tell you the working definition of what a resistor is and how it applies to us hands, and it'll be something that opposes the flow of electrons. And it may go as far as just to give you the color code, how to look at a resistor, understand the value of it, and things along those lines, or simple of the same impedance and, you know, what the impedance is and why do we care about it, and what it might be that way. It's elementary, but at the same time, it may come across a word that you haven't thought of for quite some time. And I'll do a quick reset. And then also, I was saying, looking at the article, and I was listening, partially listening in, on that parts issue, I was over at the president of the local club here in Palm Springs, Desert Rats, at Glenn's home, and at the WB6 RLC, and he's one of these retired R&D engineers who has boxes and boxes and boxes of tubes. And what he's planning to do, just a bit of FYI to the group, upcoming in January, there's going to be a ham fest. Anyway, bottom line is go to a ham fest if you're new or old or in between. And a lot of times, ham fest, people will bring their stuff and they'll sell it at the club table for an incredible price. And so he's going to be bringing a lot of that kind of stuff to the ham fest. And so you can find a lot of your components and hard to find tubes by the pound practically for the dollar. Back to you, Tom, W6POO.
KSXQ and the group, Tech Tuesday Net, every Tuesday we can at 1900 hours. Well, Chip, that's fantastic. Yeah, I know that they are having that get-together there in January. I am really going to try to make it this year. Sounds fantastic. And, yeah, this is where you can really get a lot of stuff. I know up here in Big Bear, the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club has their once-a-year picnic, and that's usually in August. And we have what's called a white elephant sale, and all of our hams from far and wide bring in things they don't want anymore, literally. Good equipment. I've seen good test equipment there. I've seen working test equipment come in, some of the older Tektronix stuff, things like that, right down to all kinds of components, meters, and what have you. They donate this stuff to the white elephant auction table. It's a silent auction. There's a piece of paper. After a finalization time is called, anybody, whoever's the highest bidder at that time, I mean, you walk through, you see somebody else bidding on something, you go ahead and write your higher bid down there. All proceeds go to the club to help finance the club picnic. Great barbecue, great thing in August. If you're listening out there, let me reset here real quick. If you're listening out there and you're not a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, I guarantee you the $20 a year, well worth it. Help support our repeater. Also, with that, we have at our field day a lot of activity going on there. We have that every year. That includes, we have a big barbecue there. We also have the picnic. We have a Christmas dinner once a year. All these things, $20 buys you a whole lot, plus and more, and helps to support the repeater anyway. Okay, there's the plug for the club. Anyway, Chip, I'm going to do a real quick ham speak here. Yeah, from the article, I mean, a Colfoot's oscillator, what is that? A crystal oscillator, what is that? CW Keir, mixer, QRP, toroid core, VFO. Now, these are terms that a lot of us are familiar with, but if you just happen to pick up this and you're new to ham radio, you just joined the ARRL, you got this, you're like, they're referring to all these different terms, and they do this with a lot of their articles, if not all of them, called ham speak. And what they have is a definition. They'll have, with the mixer or the CW Keir or whatever, they'll give you a definition. So if you're half confused by reading the article, they have this in there to help break that confusion level. So, pretty good stuff. Like I say, the ARRL does great work. Also, we do a lot of testing based on their VE program. So, well, anyway, Mike, I think these are all good things here. Anything you could add to these different? You know, many of the different things in QST. What's your take off on that? Just as we start wrapping up this net.
I just really want to say that, you know, I've noticed ham speak before. I've glanced at it but never paid attention to it. I just was kind of looking for at one here for a inverted V Yagi with switchable pattern rotation. It's out of the December QST. And a lot of explanations. That's really cool. So I am enlightened. I have learned something tonight, and I'm really excited about that. We'll go from there. Back to you, Tom.
And Chip, I guess you have a lot of issues there yourself. I've noticed one thing that a lot of ARRL articles, and I have to tell you this, I don't throw anything away, Mike. I literally don't. You can ask my wife about that. But essentially, all these articles are done up in the fashion to help you learn, which is another part of the QSTs. A lot of good stuff. The doctor is in, people that have write-in topics. There's a little section on microwave for people out there in microwave. Couple of different really good authors in here. I got to tell you, it's like anybody who's been out there for a long time, the old radio electronics and popular electronics of years ago, This is the updated version with ham radio, and it's really fantastic. Let me reset. And if you don't want all these issues collecting dust, you might look into the fact that after the year is over or sooner, they have, well, actually it has to be after the year is over, you can pick up a CD and through a purchase with ARRL, and they will have all the issues on that CD. Really cool. Brings that up. Easy way to store stuff. And you can get a lot of these for past issues as a CD. Possibly even more than that. I know there's a lot of stuff out there. So there's a way to actually store all this stuff. It'd be neat and clean and put it in a little box. Chip, anything you could add with what you see out here in our articles? We're trying to pull a lot of this stuff out of QST. A lot of people out there have these, a lot of ARRL members. If you're listening and you're not, by golly, look into that, because it'd be the best money you ever spent. Chip, in closing, what do you think about all this stuff they've been putting in QSTs for us hams, especially the stuff that's do-it-yourself? I love it.
Well, I think it's fantastic in that it's a great teaching tool. It's a great learning tool, and as you indicated, the ham speak. When I first saw it, I thought, "Gosh, you don't know that. How could you?" But I thought, "Well, now hang on. You know, it's only because I've been around this stuff since mid-60s, and in my job, my career, I was around it a lot with maintenance engineers who I'd break it and take it to them, and they would start talking to talk of this." You know, I told him, I said, I would break it because you need job, you know, satisfaction, and you need your job. But in any event, the point being is it's great to, I was at the, like I said, at Glenn's house, and we got talking about the simple thing is the term passive resistor. And he said, well, for that matter, all resistors are passive, and we got talking about the simplest thing. But hams love to teach, and hams, I think, love to be students at the same time. So the magazine has evolved tremendously since the mid-60s when I first saw it. And ARRL, they're about teaching as well as their, you know, representation, of course. But I got the 1972, if Chris is listening, KMW, I think is what it's called, is WB6KMW. I got our 1972 handbook because ARRL was running an auction. And I got to tell you, the electronics in so many ways hasn't changed in many years, but it has in the satellite technology, of course. But it's kind of neat to go back and look and see the way it was, you know, quick reset. FM was around for those who wasn't back in. When I graduated high school, FM mono was about, nearly as many repeaters. It was impossible to do what I'm doing now back then, to talk from Palm Springs up to Big Bear. Onyx Peak did not exist. The repeater, that is. And so it's fantastic to been around long enough to see where the hobby has evolved, and it's fantastic to see that it's easy as picking up the magazine and getting into it and enjoying it. It's a great, keeps the brain from atrophy. It's one of the reasons I came back to it. So back to you, Tom, KF6QW6PO.
Well, good information there, Chip, and that's true. You know, we all get used to some of the terminology, and by the way, there is a huge amount of information that we don't realize. We know off the cuff, so it's good that every article and every issue is designed like that. If you you understand the stuff, you can bypass that. If there's something there, say, hey, what is that? Looking through this one issue here of April 2011, CD-ROM collections orderable through the ARRL. Last 3 years are about $25 a pop for each year. Past that, they drop down to $20 a year, and going all the way back to 1995. So a lot of different stuff there. If you wanted the entire year for, say, like 2002, for 1995, you'll get it on a CD. So, kind of a cool thing. You know, you can always do a little hinting out there with the XYL Christmas present. Anyway, hopefully, now let's see, that's the nerd in me coming out. The geek, as my wife says, I am the number one geek. Anyway, but good stuff there. And they have a lot of this available. Like I say, I'm not sure how far back to go. This is just what they list in this issue. All the books that are out there from the ARL, too. Great stuff. Really great stuff. So, good information, monthly, month to month. I never get a chance to read all these from cover to cover, which is one reason I don't throw them away. Mike, real quick, back to you. I know we just talked to you a little bit ago. How far back would you, carry, what, about 2 or 3 months, and then you pitch them?
Yeah, and you can ask my wife about that one. Yeah, I only keep about 3 months. I just can't have clutter. I just have too much other stuff going. But, yeah, about 3 months. I do have some vintage stuff. I mean, like from the 60s and even older than that I keep just because it's cool. But, yeah, current issues, that's about it.
Roger that. Well, maybe this next year be great if we could get a library going for the club up here. Stuff that like that a lot of people, I'm sure you're not the only one that does that, and get some of this stuff together. I know I'm actually looking at one. This is actually, I have two of these. These are actually going to be donated to the club. These are actually donated by Nancy, KE6QI. And we have to find a place to collect this for the club. So anyway, good stuff though. Yeah, I know, it's too much clutter, and next thing you know, it's the stacks are high. I honestly do have Poppy Electronics back into the 60s, I have Radio Electronics all through the 70s, and I got to tell you, when I first had those, I thought about throwing them away, and now they are collector's items. Like I say, today's trash is tomorrow's antiques. Anyway, Jim, KJ6, KDL, anything you could add to that?
Yeah, I was going through the schematics and doing pricing, and it's funny as you were mentioning the IRF-510, that chip is at Radio Shack. I was just finding it for $220. Most of the transistors are 20 to 40 cents. The crystals, I found several places, including Jamico, I think, had those for like a 20 cents or a quarter. The only thing I haven't found is a good price for the mixer oscillator chip. The voltage regulator was 19 cents at Jamico. The only thing I haven't found, and it's not listed in the parts list, is this PK4 keyer for the CW paddle. I haven't found that yet, so I'm not sure if I found the one big costly thing yet, but these things are very inexpensive, and if you have the time to do the circuit board, this is definitely worthwhile. And that thing that Cliff found, the frequency counter from, what was it, Aigu in China for $30, that would be great for knowing what frequency you're on, and you're pretty much good to go with a hobby project.
Yeah, roger that. You know, there, like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there. Certain things can be substituted, but a lot of these are readily available. If you're out there and you have a friend or somebody who's interested in ham radio, if you're an Elmer to somebody, probably one of the neat things, if they have any inclination towards this kind of thing, doing a little build-it-yourself thing like this, pretty cool, kind of sparks the interest. The greatest thing is when you build one of these and then fire it up and it works. That's the magic. Anywhere from an original crystal set all the way up into, there's like the Elecraft actually come as kits themselves. And Mike, I think, as you well know, that's a pretty fancy piece of equipment. Well, anyway, anybody else out there, anything to add or any questions, please come back to KF6Q.
LCS.
YNW.
In the order, K6 LCS. Go ahead, Quinn.
Another perk of ARRL membership is being able to access a online database of past QST articles. Not like holding the magazine in your hand and seeing all the old ads, but are available for you. And, yeah, I built a 220 transverter for my FT-817 from an AWRL plants. And, yeah, you're right. When you fire it up and with the fire extinguisher close to you, and it works, yeah, there's some glee involved there. Good work, Tom.
Well, Clint, appreciate that. Yeah, and I think myself, it's always a lot of fun to be a ham radio operator. Also a lot more fun, I think, to be a ham radio builder, but that's just my personal opinion. Chris, YNW, I knew you were out there. Go ahead.
Yes, two things regarding QST. First thing I go to is vintage radio. Am I crazy or sane? I don't know, but that's the first thing I go to. Second of all, 40 meters, I think, is the best band to start someone out on. 20 meters can be okay, but it can be a little competitive. 8 meters has some of the clicks on it, but 40 meters, just a leisurely band. And so that's, as I say, a neat place to start for someone. K6YNW.
You know, and that's another thing, too. There's another deal here the doctor is in. He's got a great, and I was coming through these issues. Like I said, I just seem to run out of time to go through the entire issue each month, so I save them, and I usually go back sometimes even a year or two at a time when I pick up one of these test equipment. And there is a lot of good test equipment out there, but if you're actually working in any kind of service work, you need signal tracers or RF signal generators. Well, of course, you're not going to be able to build something that's, you know, HP, you know, specific, that's going to be, you know, traceable to the National Bureau of Standards. But if you're going to do some basic work on the home stereo system or something, a lot of stuff there. One of these, I can't find it right now. It was either April or it was February, had a audio signal generator, homemade, homebrew. Real simple, of course. I've seen a lot of these articles. I mean, I've seen that same thing built 5 million different ways from the 1960s all the through every generation of electronics that's come around. But anyway, yeah, a lot of fun, good stuff. If you're going to be an Elmer to somebody, this is a real spark their interest, even just with a code practice oscillator. Let me reset. Well, anyway, glad to have everybody with us this evening. We're going to close down the net here in a minute. Any last comments before we shut down? Please come back to KF6Q.
I just want to make a quick comment, W6COO. I was looking at the list of books that AWRL does sell, and dovetailing what Clint was talking about, there's a book that they're selling in their magazine, a book that AWRL does sell. It's their Low Power Communication, The Art of Science of QRP. You can get the book if you wish, and you can also buy a kit if you want that goes along with it for 40 meters, or you can even bump it to 20 meters. And just sort of, you know, going off what the entire meeting evening's been about tonight, there's a book to it as well as a kit as a secondary source to go to at W6POO.
Well, Chip, appreciate that information. Yeah, and like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there. Every month, and every month this comes, by the way, if you're a member. And if you're in the upper echelon of the extreme of the technical, they also have another publication which is not included with your membership. You have to pay for that separate. Comes every other month, called QEX. Actually, not that complicated, but it is definitely not Radio Electronics 101. So if you're kind of comfortable, very comfortable with this stuff, QEX takes it to the ultimate level. Still understandable, still readable. Yes, it is still English. Okay, you can understand the words. So, but good stuff there, too. Like I said, that publication is every other month, and a lot of good stuff there, too. So, all right. Well, glad to have everybody with us this evening. Let me reset real quick. Glad to have everybody out there, the regulars listening in, everybody who could join us and supply a little bit of help and information there. Always love to have everybody's opinion on this. That's what it's all about. So hope we see you all again next Tuesday. Same time, same station. That would be the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater at 1900 hours. So QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Acting net control. Actually, I am the net control. What am I saying? Okay. For the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at, let's see, what time is it? It is exactly 2000 hours. How about that? Appreciate everybody for being out there. And we'll keep the radio on here for a bit. Any questions and anything else that anybody has questions to email me, please feel free to do so at kf6q@arrl.net. Yes, you get actually a website or an email address with that too. So returning the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.